Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the hush money trial of Donald Trump in New York, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker testifying that family was never brought up as a reason Trump wanted to keep secret alleged affairs and negative stories during his presidential bid in 2016. ABC's Olivia Rubin has more from the courtroom.
Trump does appear focused on the testimony that his old friend David Pecker is giving, especially when he is recounting some of the specific conversations that he personally had with Donald Trump or with his attorney, Michael Cohen. David Pecker testified in one instance about talking to Trump directly about Michael Cohen. That seems something Trump was interested in.
The Supreme Court heard arguments today on whether Donald Trump has presidential immunity over criminal prosecution in the special counsel's election interference case. That outcome will impact the start of the trial and other cases against Trump. And jobless claims dipped last week with 5,000 fewer Americans filing first-time unemployment benefits than the week before. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin says UW-Platteville will vacate its Richland Center branch campus on July 1st. Local officials say they were caught by surprise. Senator Kelda Roy spoke about state support for the UW system at a forum in Muscadet this week.
State support for the universities has in my lifetime gone from just under half of the revenue that they get to between 11 and 15%.
The UW has closed 5 2-year branch campuses in a year and a half. Donald Trump is coming back to Wisconsin next week. Trump is set to speak in Waukesha next Wednesday. The Republican is on trial for 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to cover up a sex scandal. Trump has a narrow lead over President Biden in the latest Marquette poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The field for the 94th Assembly District grew this morning when Republican Ryan Huebsch announced he was running to unseat Democrat Steve Doyle from office. Doyle defeated Huebsch in a close race in 2022. The redrawn 94th Assembly District includes the area north of La Crosse, including Onalaska, Holman, and parts of Trempealeau County. Doyle is seeking his seventh elected term in office. The district is projected to lean Republican based on results from recent elections. The National Drought Monitor says that for the first time in nearly a year, most of Wisconsin has normal conditions. The areas in drought shrank from 28% to 19%, while the abnormally dry parts of the state went from 75% all the way down to 43%. The worst drought areas in the state are far north central Wisconsin and the lower Wisconsin River Valley, or south of I-90, but north of the Wisconsin River. Plenty of rain is in the forecast for this weekend, which could improve conditions locally. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The NFL Draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The draft is in Detroit, runs tonight through all day Saturday. Next year, the draft will be held here in Green Bay. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst what makes his scouting department unique.
We've had a long-term process here for a long time that has not only had success here, but it's had success other places. You know, whether it goes back to Ron and Ted and, you know, putting that effort in.
The Chicago Bears unveiling a plan to build a new indoor stadium on the lakefront, not in the suburbs in Arlington. The catch is they want Illinois taxpayers to split the cost, estimated to be $4.6 billion. Baseball, the Brewers win 7-5 today over the Pirates. Milwaukee taking 2 out of 4 games in Pittsburgh. Last night in Pittsburgh, they held on to beat the Pirates 3-2. Bryce Wilson lasted until early in the fifth inning. How'd he look?
Bryce wasn't sharp. He'll be the first to tell you. Yeah, he hung in there and battled. Last inning he gave us, the fifth, was really, really important.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, thickening clouds, lows in the mid-40s. Showers and thunderstorms developing tomorrow with the wind picking up, highs in the upper 50s. Early rain possible Saturday, breezy, highs low 70s. Showers and thunderstorms return again on Sunday. Breezy again. Highs mid-60s. Currently at 64
Up
degrees.
North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on childcare. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10. Eagle, 1490 AM. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dominic. A Thursday show for the ages.
Happy Friday Eve, Crudy. Rich working hard on the board. Thank you, sir. Of course, our fair audience. Welcome. Welcome to it.
Dom, this might be one of our most litigious shows ever. James Santel, fine former U.S. attorney, joins us in the 5 o'clock happier happy hour. We'll get to Jim soon. Better stick around. But let's start with the case that Trump wanted to be at today. Trump had a lot of cases today. First and foremost, he was defend on Trump, David Pecker back on the stand in the New York hush money trial, and some damning testimony against the old man. But while that's going on, the U.S. Supreme Court, where he really wanted to be to, you know, perhaps try to persuade a few of his appointments on the bench, but Dom, I devoted hours. I mean, this took hours. I thought, you know, maybe an hour for each side. Dude, it was multiple hour testimony. And as Gorsuch described it, they were writing a rule for the ages. We'll see.
We will see. I did catch some of it, Crudy. And it seemed to me the conservative justices on the Supreme Court didn't really want to address this particular case. They were more concerned about the ages.
It was starting to piss me off, actually. Every time someone would try to bring specificity to the actual case before them, Alito, especially Samuel Alito, kept, Mike, gave a very Ron Johnson-like stall tactic. He would effectively shut down the speaker. But anyways, the Washington Post, they've got coverage, Dom. The Chief Justice hated Trump's appeals, court decision, and other takeaways. I thought it was a very sound appeals court decision. I'm just a layman. Again, that's why we've got former U.S. Attorney James Santel joining us after 5. But here is how Devlin Barrett and Ann Marimau reported for the Washington Post. The Supreme Court spent hours Thursday morning debating former President Donald Trump's claim of immunity from prosecution for allegedly conspiring to undo the results of the 2020 election. And the ruling, which could come in June, doesn't have to be June, could be sooner.
It could be.
But it'll probably come at the end of June, seeing how these justices worked. Could do far more than chart the course of Trump's case. It may forever alter the boundaries of presidential power. We're writing a rule for the ages, Justice Neil Gorsuch said, the least quotable of all the justices, except perhaps for Clarence. Now, Clarence Thomas, should he have recused? I'm just saying, when your wife's an insurrectionist...
She was part of it, right? I mean, Arizona, also breaking news from yesterday, decided to indict a bunch of the fraudulent electors in the state of Arizona. She was on there emailing those folks, hey, you got to overturn the election. That's the justice's wife was involved in that.
It was very encouraging to see Mark Meadows get indicted. I've been waiting for that guy to get indicted on serious charges. Well, here are the takeaways from the U.S. Supreme Court. The question, does Trump have absolute immunity? And, I mean, you really got to be ballsy to get up there like his attorney did and basically make the claim everything. He would be immune from everything. And they brought back the argument. I didn't think the U.S. Supreme Court was going to consider the argument about, well, you know, of course, if you impeach the president, then and only then, he would be susceptible to criminal prosecution, which seemingly shoots a hole in your whole claim of total immunity. I mean, how can both be true? So anyways, back to the coverage here. Now, the justices seem to generally agree in broad terms that Trump does not have blanket immunity. I was encouraged. Now, we've got some sound from Amy Coney Barrett. I think this... one of the more succinct back and forths, this the attorney for Trump, I believe, and she gets him to make a series of concessions. And the question is, even if the president, any president, would have immunity for, let's call it official acts, what about what he's alleged to have done by the special counsel Jack Smith? Let's go case in point down the list. Which ones are private acts? Which ones are presidential acts? And see if you notice the distinction. Amy Coney Barrett, yeah, I was even surprised she took this line of questioning, played for the people, Rich.
So you concede that private acts don't get immunity?
We do.
Okay. So in the special counsel's brief on pages 46 and 47, he urges us, even if we were to decide or assume that there was some sort of immunity for official acts, that there were sufficient private acts in the indictment for the case to go back and the trial to begin immediately. And I want to know if you agree or disagree about the characterization of these acts as private. Petitioner turned to a private attorney, was willing to spread knowingly false claims of election fraud to spearhead his challenges to the election results. Private?
As alleged, I mean, we dispute the allegation, but of that course. Sounds private to me.
Sounds private. Petitioner conspired with another private attorney who caused the filing in court of a verification signed by petitioner that contained false allegations to support a challenge.
That private. Also sounds private.
Three private actors, two attorneys, including those mentioned above, and a political consultant helped implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding, and petitioner and a co-conspirator attorney directed that effort.
You read it quickly. I believe that's private. I don't want to...
So those acts you would not dispute. Those were private, and you wouldn't raise a claim that they were official.
As characterized, what we would say, Your Honor, if I may, that what we would say is official is things like meeting with the Department of Justice to deliberate about who's going to be the acting Attorney General of the United States.
Sure.
Communicating with the American public. Communicating with Congress about matters of enormous...
Thank you. Sir. Thank you.
That's pretty damning. Yeah. I mean, she laid out
the point, right?
She laid out the points raised by the special prosecutor that even if he did, or any president had some sort of limited presidential immunity, not for private acts.
It would not apply to those very specific cases she pointed out and which she lifted from the prosecutor's filing.
But interestingly, when he actually made his oral arguments, he basically claimed these were everything that Trump did were official acts. And there were justices that tried to burrow down and say, well, come on, man. you know, you can't imply that this is not the act of a candidate. I mean, hell, they enumerated the false elector scheme. When a Supreme Court justice is reading back your client's scheme to overturn the election, and you're like, official act, a fake elector scheme, according to Trump's claims, that's an official act and therefore should have presidential immunity in all cases, case closed, and even in cases where, let's say there's a bribe, where I think the question was is, let's say someone wants to be an ambassador and they're willing to pay you $1 million. Well, the president can make you an ambassador. That's the official act. Well, predicated on that, effectively, that gives you blanket immunity each and every time. You could be corrupt. The intent could be corrupt. You could accept some sort of bribe. But because actually...
Oh, but of course, that's asinine, though. I mean, the act of...
I'm not saying it's not asinine. I'm saying
that... The signing of the ambassadorship is an official act, sure. But if someone pays you personally $1 million that you stick into your pocket, that's a personal thing.
But if it's immunity, understand motive doesn't matter. If you're immune from everything related to an official act, as Trump's team was trying to plead, then motive doesn't matter because you're already immune. You can't commit a crime. And, you know, I got to tell you, Dom, I got the initial impression that this wasn't going to be a close case, that Trump's just going to get shot down. But I found Alito very troubling, and I believe we've got some sound of this. Rich, going to need your help. Here's Alito, and these conservatives, as the Washington Post observed, conservative justices seem far more focused on future presidents than Trump's future. They kept casting this as a hypothetical. Well, you know, won't there be retribution in the future? I think Kavanaugh asked. You know, won't we see a whole series of things happen? He also made the conclusion today, and I about jumped out of my chair and threw a shoe at the TV. Kavanaugh said, Jerry Ford's pardon of Nixon, in retrospect, almost everyone agrees was a great decision.
Yeah, terrible. That's why we're in the situation we are right now.
Well, while there's still time, let's play the sound. This is Alito pissing Crudy off.
If an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy?
No. And Kavanaugh's series of examples were Reagan, Iran-Contra, and then it was H.W. Bush, who actually was up to his eyeballs in Iran-Contra. I mean, there were a number of pardons issued. And let's not forget, who was the attorney general at the time covering up those crimes? Why, it was Bill Barr. And then he threw in Clinton for good measure. You know, see, it's tit for tat, it's retribution. And this is what will happen if we don't extend some sort of theoretical immunity.
So his position, what, being that if there were to be some prosecution for law-breaking while in office, that the person in office would do whatever they could to not leave office? Like what happened with Trump?
Well, they didn't clarify that point. Also,
they don't want to talk about that. This is for the ages. We're talking about the future. We got a guy literally right now. The reason you're taking this case up, because that's what this guy did. You don't even need to talk about hypotheticals. Just look at the case in front of you.
Come back. A show for the ages. Thursday edition, 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the DevilRadioSwag.com.
because we got bills too.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Switching to solar power can be a bright idea for your wallet. Here are three reasons. First, you could save big money on your electric bills. Forbes magazine says an average of $1,500 a year, and over the life of your solar, it's $25,000 to $33,000. Number two, you can take advantage of tax credits to help it get paid for and installed. Now, lots of states like Wisconsin waive property and sales tax on solar, and the federal government recently passed a bunch of new tax benefits too. Those are your tax dollars at work, so let's put them to work for you. And number three, solar panels can boost your home's resale value. Now, if you don't get enough sunlight, it might not pencil out for you, but man, that chance to save $1,500 a year is definitely worth checking out. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Well, I'm not uptight.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show and historic show for the ages, Crudy, 844-967-2789.
It is difficult that we top ourselves each and every day.
Every single day.
Strive for excellence. And we usually get there. I hope you agree. 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. A few thoughts. I'm sharing this from Twitter. This is not a Crudy original, but here were Trump's basic arguments today at the U.S. Supreme Court seeking immunity. POTUS, President of the United States, can't be prosecuted for official acts. Immunity is absolute. That's what they claim. Now, as I did play the sound of Coney Barrett, one of the conservative justices, basically differentiating between official acts in what is alleged that Donald Trump did by the special counsel Jack Smith, which his own counsel admitted were private acts, not the acts of a president acting as the president.
No, private act acting as a candidate for office in a campaign.
Sure. Not the president, doesn't have immunity, not for those specific actions. So case closed, right? No.
Yep.
They went on for hours from there. Here's more. Again, this is the Trump argument. The POTUS can be prosecuted for official acts if they're convicted and removed first, which, of course, begs the question, what about the absolute immunity you were arguing five minutes ago?
Convicted of what? If you have absolute immunity, you couldn't possibly be convicted of anything. It's very circular.
Dom, to be prosecuted, the criminal statute has to specifically say it applies to the president.
Really?
That's what they're claiming. That either.
No.
Just two more here. In any prosecution, you can't introduce evidence that would constitute an official act. So if you're prosecuting bribery, again, we use the example of the ambassador paying $1 million for this ambassadorship. So if you're prosecuting bribery, you can't show that they did anything official in return for the money, which is an element of the offense. Well, of course, you can't also look at motive, according to Trump's team. Because you would have immunity, motive doesn't matter. And one more, Dom. Even though you can't prosecute a former president for unlawful official acts, anyone who does his bidding could be prosecuted. That was acknowledged by Trump's counsel. Everybody else, they're screwed. Oh, sure, they can be prosecuted. So anybody else can be, but not Trump. He is above the law. And a little bit more from the Post here. Takeaway number four, the liberal justices say Trump's immunity claims would create a lawless king. Seems like we're trying to escape that once upon a time, Dom. Now, the three liberal justices also focus much of their attention on the future implications of an immunity ruling. But they worried most that granting Trump protection in this case would subvert the very premise of the founding of the United States to escape the tyranny of kings. I mean, I know memories are short, Dom. The framers did not put an immunity clause into the Constitution. They knew how to, said Justice Elena Kagan. They were reacting against a monarch who claimed to be above the law. Wasn't the whole point that the president was not supposed to be above the law? Now, the Sauer guy, John Sauer, the Trump lawyer, said the Constitution was designed to build checks on the presidency and did not describe a format for criminal prosecution of a president. Either take him out with the old impeachment or nothing ever happens to the president, apparently, according to Sauer, according to Trump, above the law. And while the conservatives fretted that ruling against Trump would create a permanently hobbled presidency, you know, based on a bunch of hypotheticals, they kept bantering Kavanaugh and Alito between each other. Well, it'd get really bad. We should know we participated in some of the bad up until now when right. We were young lawyers. The liberals fretted that giving him significant immunity would encourage a new kind of criminal presidency without consequence. Seems like he already had one of those. Let me just pull it down. That was the takeaways, according to the Washington Post.
844-967-2789. Conservative Judge Michael Luttig wrote, we have some comments from him. We'll get to the phones first, though. Callers have been patient. We appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Mark, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, I'll point out again, as I pointed out in the past, Hamilton refers to it in Federalist 69, that the president, you know, is elected for 4 years, officer of the United States for 4 years, and be amenable to personal punishment and disgrace. I mean, as he's clearly saying out there, they did not, and he goes on to describe what a king is, of course, you know, not amenable to, you know, to punishment, but he is, you know, because he's the king. I mean, supposedly, but even kings are subject to the law, you know, as proved in the case of Charles II. And, of course, you know, even before that, Henry II, who said, won't somebody get rid of this troublesome priest, and his knights went and murdered Thomas Becket. And so Henry II got whipped by the Canterbury monks. I mean, that the law has to mean something. I mean, that Donald Trump took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Now, if these nitwits...
I have my fingers crossed.
If these nitwit conservatives want to give the president immunity, then Joe Biden could actually say, it's my official act as you know, upholding my oath to defend and protect, you know, the Constitution of the United States, is to take Donald Trump out and just have him hung. Or to have the Supreme Court, he says, I perceive that the Supreme Court is attacking the Constitution of the United States, and take them out as well. I mean, how far do they want to go here?
Well, the lawyers for Trump would argue those are official acts and he would be immune from prosecution.
Which, of course, is the most asinine position you could ever possibly take in a democracy, a representative republic, ever, ever, ever. Because that would cease to be a democracy. At the very moment you accept that premise, you are no longer a democracy.
My greatest concern. These Republicans are looking for a reason to write a convoluted ruling. And the convoluted ruling will extend some sort of limited immunity to the current and future presidents for official acts. You can't be prosecuted if you're acting on the advice of the Attorney General of the United States. Although they did question, what if the Attorney General is corrupt? And it was interesting, it would come from a Republican. I'm thinking, well, you know Bill Barr, right?
And Jeffrey Clark, let's not forget.
Well, the official acts, according to Trump's legal team, would be the impanelment of a Jeffrey Clark. The unofficial acts would be pretty much every other part of the coup. Think the false electors, etc. Come back with us. More of your phone calls. 844-967-2789. A show for the ages.
This is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin election officials are considering how far election observers need to stand from poll workers on Election Day this year. The Wisconsin Elections Commission met yesterday to get public feedback on a proposal to make observers stand 3 to 8 feet from election workers. Commissioners will meet again in late June. High school athletic directors in Wisconsin say they need more time and more information before they can support student athletes getting the same kind of name, image, and likeness rights as in college.
Let's make sure we're fully vetted before implementing change. Let's make sure we do this and understand what the consequences are before we make a change.
Jeremy Schlitz of Madison is one of a majority who voted against NIL at Wednesday's meeting of the WIAA. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Voters of the La Crosse School District will have a referendum on their ballot this fall. The newly reorganized school board approved language on a November measure to consolidate 4 elementary schools into 2 facilities. The district is facing declining enrollment and reductions in revenue. At least 2/3 of districts in Wisconsin are reporting declines in the number of students attending. Over 100 school referendums were placed on ballots in the state this spring, with about 60% of them passing. Yesterday, the WIAA's member schools voted down a measure that would have allowed for name, image, and likeness opportunities for high school student athletes.
The number of schools or representatives supporting the motion today, 170. Those denying, 219. The motion does not pass.
Schools approved adding limited video replay to challenge player ejections and the ability for coaches to provide workshops and clinics for students in 8th grade or younger. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The late Sam Kinison was known for outlandish behavior and pushing boundaries on stage and off. A new book about the show Married with Children reveals that Kinison actually auditioned for the part of Al Bundy. According to the book, during a season 4 guest starring role, Kinison mooned the entire cast and crew, then apologized by taking everyone out to dinner at an expensive LA restaurant. Later in the week, to make up for the fact that he was late to the set, he hired strippers to serve lunch. Kinison also apparently flashed a gun at one of the show's producers who showed up at Kinison's house, suspecting his girlfriend, who is also a friend of Kinison's, was there. In addition to Kinison's antics, the book also talks about how the series' regulars were all hesitant to be cast on Fox TV's first show. The book is called Married with Children versus the World, the inside story of the shock-com that launched Fox and changed TV comedy forever. Don't worry, the book is a faster read than its title. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, thickening clouds, lows in the mid-40s. Showers and thunderstorms developing tomorrow with the wind picking up, highs in the upper 50s. Early rain possible Saturday, breezy, highs low 70s. Showers and thunderstorms return again on Sunday. Breezy again, highs mid-60s. Currently at 64 degrees.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded, privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in 2 different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On my next show, I welcome brewery owner and classically trained singer Kirk Bangstad and singer Brentley Brehm and host of Civic Media's Max Inc., Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Do, 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 do.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. This one could be a show for the ages, folks. At least a very litigious edition. Donald Trump, oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's put that one on the shelf because we got a fine guest coming to help us digest. Former U.S. Attorney James Santel coming at 5:05 because, Dom, there's also the whole trial happening in New York, the hush money trial, and we've got new testimony today. And some of it was very damning to defend on Trump. I want to start from the body of the Washington Post. David Pecker, the unfortunately named Pecker, new payment to Playboy model violated election laws. And what I never knew until reading over the last couple days, Dom, Arnold Schwarzenegger, before he ran for governor back in like 2003 in California, approached the National Enquirer and made an agreement with David Pecker to do a catch and kill. And unfortunately, there was some story that leaked out. And apparently, Arnold had a habit of apparently, let's just say, sexually harassing people around him. He was giving sort of a ceremonial role as editor-in-chief of some fitness magazines that Pecker was the publisher of. And they killed some stories on behalf of Schwarzenegger. But it also basically made it a point where David Pecker was well aware of what the consequences could be. So setting the tone, Pecker knew the payments to the Playboy model violated election laws. Pecker testified that during the 2016 election, after discussions with Trump and his attorney at the time, Michael Cohen, Trump spent $150,000 to squash a story from Karen McDougal, a Playboy model who alleges she had an affair with Trump while he was married. Pecker said on the stand today that he was aware that hush money payments intended to influence an election in coordination with a campaign violated election laws. He also said Trump's team never reimbursed him for the payment. He got stiffed.
That's stiff.
Isn't that typical, Dom? The hush money to McDougal is not part of the criminal allegations against Trump, but prosecutors seem to be using this testimony to show the jury that Pecker and Trump's team falsified business records to hide the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, Dom, the adult film actress whose payments are at the center of the New York trial because they knew those transactions violated election laws. David Pecker also, apparently Dom, gave testimony that he was aware because of the prior circumstance with Schwarzenegger and was concerned that this could be construed as a campaign contribution in excess of federal campaign laws. He was well aware of what the campaign laws were, and he knew they were trying to break them. Now, Pecker received immunity from state prosecutors in 2019, It's been widely reported that Pecker received immunity from federal prosecutors when he provided information on withholding negative stories about Trump during the 2016 campaign. And federal prosecutors did not pursue charges against Trump. SD New York, what happened? Oh, yeah, Bill Barr was your boss. I recall. They killed it. But Pecker, catch and kill at the DOJ.
Yeah,
people wonder why this is being prosecuted now. Ask Bill Barr why. But Pecker testified that he also got an immunity agreement from the New York State prosecutors, agreeing to meet with them and speak truthfully about his meetings with Trump and Cohen, as well as any transactions the company had with McDougal and Daniels. Pecker also agreed to testify before the state grand jury. The immunity agreement meant the state could not prosecute him for violating campaign finance laws. And Dom, they had a long friendship, kind of like you and I.
Crudy, it's been widely reported that Pecker received... I'm sorry, you got this one. Let me jump down here. Trump's relationship with Pecker predated the election. Under questioning from Trump's attorney, Bove, is that how I pronounce it? Pecker said he had been working with Trump since 1998. That's a year before he became publisher of the National Enquirer. He said he alerted Trump when he learned of a negative story the tabloid was working on about Trump's second wife, Marla Maples. Pecker unsuccessfully tried to kill the story. In the early 2000s, Trump provided him with content about the TV show The Apprentice. In turn, Pecker would provide information to Trump about potentially negative stories. Ovay's questioning seemed aimed at bolstering the idea that Pecker and Trump had have had the same mutually beneficial relationships since before the 2016 election. That helps suggest that their intent with the payment to Daniels was not about the campaign or circumventing election laws, as prosecutor alleged. Pecker said during the cross-examination, he did not consider Cohen, Trump's lawyer with whom he was communicating, a part of the presidential campaign. Well, they also tried to undermine Pecker's credibility by pointing out that he flubbed the date of a key meeting that Pecker had had at Trump Tower. What I'm getting at is that these things happened a long time ago, and that even when you're doing your best, it's hard to remember exactly what happened when, Trump's defense attorney said.
My understanding is that Pecker specifically testified when being questioned by the prosecutor that he knew that these were campaign activities and that these were efforts to support the campaign. Above and beyond that, they went out and they put out stories. I mean, do you remember the story about Ted Cruz and his old man was apparently linked to the murder of JFK, and they put it on the front page, and Trump went to a podium.
Trump
and
referenced it.
And Trump said, "Hey, did you see my opponent? Ted Cruz, his old man, apparently murdered JFK. I don't know if it's true." But it's on the front page of the National Enquirer.
And this is something I think when we start talking all this legalese and we get kind of in the weeds and we kind of got to put it in the context, to step back a little bit and let's think about who we're talking about here. We're talking about Donald Trump, right? The guy who claims that everyone's fake news media, the enemy of the people. I mean, this guy, not only was the National Enquirer and David Pecker doing catch and kills and playing defense for Donald Trump, they were playing offense, man. They were literally putting out fake stories, fraudulent stories about political opponents of the president. I mean, so when the candidate then, president, obviously it worked out. He won. They were making an effort. They were purposefully defaming people on the front page of their newspaper. At the same time, they're playing defense for Donald Trump. So when you hear someone like Donald Trump talk about all the fake news media, well, he is a part of it, man. He was very specific with it. And Pecker was involved offensively, defensively. We cannot just brush past that when this guy goes out there and criticizes, everyone in the press and you're the enemy of the people, all these kinds of things. Well, you know what? He knows from what he speaks that he'd been involved in it from day one. Hypocritical bastards.
Dominic, the Associated Press reporting. As Donald Trump was running for president in 2016, his old friend at the National Enquirer was scooping up potentially damaging stories about the candidate and paying out tens of thousands of dollars to keep them from the public eye. But when it came down to the steamy claims by porn performer Stormy Daniels, David Pecker said he put his foot down. Did you know this, Tom? "I'm not paying for this story," he told jurors Thursday at the Trump hush money trial.
Because he wasn't paid, he wasn't reimbursed for the last story, the McDougal story.
Recounting his version of the conversation with Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, about the catch and kill scheme that prosecutors alleged amounted to interference in the race, Pecker was already $180,000 in the hole on other Trump-related stories by the time Daniels came along. "I didn't want to be involved in this from the beginning." Well, who does? No one really, really wants to be part of a hush money cover-up scheme, do they? Pecker's testimony was a critical building block for the prosecutor's theory that their partnership was a way to illegally influence the 2016 presidential election. And the Manhattan district attorney is seeking to elevate the gravity of the history-making first trial of a former American president and the first of four criminal cases against Trump to reach a jury. Yeah, I'm excited about that part, Dom, because it gives us something to talk about here on the Show of ages.
Come on.
But the hush money trial was just one of the consequential legal matters facing the Republican presidential candidate on Thursday. We talked about the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, we don't need to go deeper in this, but there was also some action on the hush money side, Dom, or pardon me, the gag order. They did have a hearing on the gag order in the New York trial before David Pecker went back on the stand today. Now, I still don't know that Judge Mershon has given a clear ruling.
I don't believe he has nailed anything down yet, but my understanding, there's additional four incidences that the judge
in the last
take
3 days
consideration.
Yes.
So I was wrong yesterday. It wasn't a baker's dozen. It could be up to, 14 times that the former president has violated the terms of his gag order.
Dom, we do have some sound from the former president. We'd hate to miss out. We've got that sound, right? Rich, let's hear what Trump had to say post. Well, I think this was during the midday break, actually, from the New York hush money trial, the voter deception trial. Rich played the first one from Trump.
As you probably have heard, some very big things have happened, but the biggest seems to be that the GDP just announces all the way down to 1.6%, and it's heading south. It's going to get worse. Yeah. Gas prices in California were just also announced at $7.60. Gasoline is going way up. Energy costs are going way up. And the stock market is, in a sense, crashing. The numbers are very bad. This is Bidenomics. It's catching up with them. It's lucky that it's catching up before he leaves office, as opposed to after he leaves office.
I don't know.
The guy's got oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court. He's at criminal trial in New York. And look at him, always concerned about the American economy.
Isn't he, though? The markets were down, the Dow specifically down less than 8% today. GDP, annualized at 1.6%. Now, that's not great, certainly. But perhaps the Fed's efforts to cool the economy are starting to take hold. I mean, you can't have it both ways.
I think we've got one more from Trump. Very important stuff. Tell him, Rich.
But this is Bidenomics. It's destroying our country at the border, destroying our country with other countries. They no longer respect the United States. I think the dollar's in tremendous trouble in terms of currency. This is going to be the standard. And
dollar in terms of beer?
With Biden, you're going to lose. The dollar is the standard. That'll be like losing the biggest war we've ever lost. And it's a shame, but it's all the way down to 1.6. And I'll tell you, nobody thought that would be possible. And it looks like it's heading down from there.
1.6% growth is not a recession or a depression. It's certainly been worse than steady 1.6% growth. But here's the newsworthy part. He didn't break the gag order once today, speaking to the cameras outside the courtroom. Maybe he's learning.
No, he's not learning. He just, his mind was elsewhere at the moment. Give him time. He'll get there again.
What he perceived as bad news for Biden was good news for him. So it took his attention. What I used to call that shiny objectism.
Yes.
Like you jump from one shiny object to the next. It's very much like the Trump campaign and trying to follow the way this man's mind works. I don't think it's so much, like master criminal. It's just sort of like disorganized fraudster.
Well, when all you do is crime, then you're kind of a master criminal. I mean, if that's all you do all the time and the fraud, the fact we've been having these conversations, I mean, of course, someone like Donald Trump would push our limits of the democracy. Electing a guy like that, who would possibly? You hear what you talk about. James Santel, our friend, will come on at the top of the hour. You hear these hypotheticals from the Republicans or the conservatives on the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, the chance of that ever happening is very rare. Even the attorneys for Trump. Well, really? Someone organizing a coup is rare? I don't think it. Maybe it used to be, but that's literally why you're in front of the Supreme Court right now.
I thought it was Bidenomics. Come back with us. Phone lines open. The hush money trial. The oral arguments. Presidential immunity. A show for the ages. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
You won't want to miss this. Wisconsin Arts West kicks off its 45th year. The exhibition showcases artists and students with a diverse range of talents and creativity. There's something for everyone to enjoy. Running May 7th through the 20th at L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library on Eau Claire Street in Eau Claire. If food is more your fancy, Food Truck Fridays are back. Starting Friday, May 10th, head over to the Chippewa Valley Mazda parking lot in Chippewa Falls, where you'll find all kinds of trucks offering all types of delicious goodness. Get lunch from 11 to 2 every Friday through September. And it's a double header of action on four wheels at the Spring Thaw Derby Brawl. Catch two games of hard-hitting roller derby action on Saturday, May 11th. It starts at 3 p.m. at Hobbs Ice Arena on Menominee Street in Eau Claire. Enjoy! And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us now, 844-967-2789. Stick around. Our pal James Santel, former U.S. attorney, you're going to join us at the top of the hour.
One other legal issue that popped up immediately after we left the airwaves yesterday, Dom, didn't seem quite fair. Arizona. The attorney general laying out 18 indictments, 18 different Republicans indicted. A little of the coverage from the Arizona Central, Dom. A grand jury has charged 11 Arizona Republicans and 7 top aides to Donald Trump in a scheme to keep Trump in the White House by falsely certifying he won the state in 2020, though voters in the Grand Canyon state narrowly favored Joe Biden. Now, Attorney General Chris Mays, a Democrat, announced on Wednesday the grand jury had issued a 9-count indictment. It alleges the state Republicans, sometimes known as fake electors, and the Trump aides engaged in a conspiracy aimed at preventing the lawful transfer of the presidency of the United States, keeping President Donald J. Trump in office against the will of Arizona voters. Are you listening, Josh Call? What about Wisconsin voters?
What about Wisconsin? That's a great question.
And depriving Arizona voters of their right to vote and have their votes counted. The names of the 7 Trump allies were redacted from the 58-page indictment, meaning they have not been served notice of the charges against them. But Dom, though their names are redacted, we're going to name some names. As are the specific charges against them, details in the indictment make clear that the architects of Trump's national campaign to steal the election are also facing charges in Arizona. The individuals we can name today on the air, Dom, include Trump lawyers, Rudy Giuliani. That guy's having a tough year so far. Feel bad for him.
Not really.
John Eastman.
Yeah,
former.
There you go.
Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, I'd like to see the pressure turned up on him. Lawyers Jenna Ellis, she had to sit through next to Rudy.
Flatulent Rudy. Yeah.
During his testimony. Oh, she suffered enough, I think. Dom, your girl Christina Bob, didn't she?
Bob, back in the action. Yes.
Didn't she fund Gableman and Branchin from the state of Wisconsin, the corrupted former Supreme Court justice?
They did. And her nonprofit, I believe, funded the trip for Wisconsin state legislator, notorious Janelle Branchin, election denier, to go check out the cyber ninjas, man.
All the stuff was happening in Maricopa County. Dom, again, the Trump lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, former chief of staff Mark Meadows, lawyers Jenna Ellis and Christina Bob, and former Trump advisors, Michael Roman. Now, he's the one that got a lot of the funny Willis stuff to happen because he was also indicted in Georgia. And Boris Epstein, isn't he a righty-whitey talk radio host as well? That might be limiting.
I mean, there's so many of them.
I've often heard him peddling, you know, stuff on the right-wing talk radio airwaves. I'm not clear. I've ever heard him on a specific show. But Trump, who is asking voters to return him to the White House this year, is unindicted co-conspirator number one, according to the indictment. Now, I have seen different theories.
Why is Donald Trump unindicted? If he's a co-conspirator, why is he unindicted?
Well, there was some question about presidential immunity happening before the U.S. Supreme Court earlier today. I have seen other theories. We'll see if Jim Santel has any, but try to wrap up the coverage here from the Arizona Central newspaper. The Arizonans now facing charges include powerful and influential GOP figures, a former Republican Party of Arizona chair, a Republican National Committeeman, and an executive at Turning Point USA in its political arm, and two sitting state senators, one of whom retains immense political power at the Arizona Capitol. And the grand jury's decision could levy criminal consequences for an unprecedented plot to subvert the will of Arizona voters, one that has ruptured faith in the elections and fueled conspiracies that have taken root in GOP politics in the state. It comes as Mays, again, she's the Democratic Attorney General, has promised to aggressively combat election conspiracies, offering a sharp contrast to her predecessor.
Yeah.
Mays,
the Republican Attorney General from Arizona, they declined.
Mays reflected the gravity of the case in a 5-minute video statement. I'm going to quote her briefly, Dom. Whatever their reasoning was, the plot to violate the law must be answered for, and I was elected to uphold the law of this state. The scheme, had it succeeded, would have deprived Arizona voters their right to have their votes counted for their chosen president. It effectively would have made their right to vote meaningless. And the grand jury panel of Arizonans who met in secret grand jury, Dom, they met in recent weeks, heard evidence presented by Mays prosecutors, and ultimately decided there was enough to substantiate criminal charges. The 11 electors, Dom, just in case we've got friends listening in Arizona, we like to name names. Tyler Bowler, an executive with the Turning Point USA and committee men for the Republican National Committee. Nancy Cottle with the C, who chaired the Arizona Trump electors. State Senator Jake Hoffman. State Senator Anthony Kern. Jim Layman, former U.S. Senate candidate. Robert Montgomery, former chair of the Cochise County Republican Party. Samuel Moorhead, a former leader of the Gila County Republican Party. Lorraine Pellegrino, the secretary of the Arizona Trump electors. John Staffson, a former executive director of the Arizona Republican Party. Kelly Ward, she's drawn some notoriety.
Ward and her husband.
Former chair of the Arizona Republican Party. And Michael Ward, her husband, and a GOP activist. Those are the indictees that weren't directly on the Trump legal team, Dom.
I mean, it seems like the same kind of thing happened here in the great state of Wisconsin. I wonder what Attorney General Josh Call thinks about all this.
Well, Trump is probably unindicted co-conspirator number one here as well. Number one in your hearts, devil's advocates, and James Santel, fine former U.S. attorney. He joins us next. Please stick around.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, stop by on a TGIF edition. That's, thank goodness it's Friday. Our old friend Peter Rapine from E-Bomb's World stops by with a week in review. Wacky things humans do.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.